listen, listen, listen. God is speaking to us.
Kairos Milwaukee United Church of Christ presents How Do You Make Sense of That Which Makes No Sense? A sermon by Joanna Hart, presented on Sunday, July 13th, 2014.
Usually, when things don't make sense, my spirit wants to look at the Bible to make sense out of the world today. The fact that people still kill each other, people still harm, people still make decisions that don't seem very conscious. But, you know, even the Bible can seem overwhelming in the different portrayals of God, the God of wrath and the God of love, all in the same sentence sometimes. And that man is capable of both heroic and horrific. People don't usually often make sense. So I'm going to attempt to make sense out of something in the next 15 minutes. Since I was a little girl, I have been fascinated by the stuff of the world, the tangible, the facts. I used to play encyclopedia. I'd go to our encyclopedia and I would just look stuff up for the heck of it. Dinosaurs, trivia about each state in the Union, the importance of fingerprints. Facts made sense to me. The tangible made sense. People around me did not. Sometimes the way God worked in the world did not to a young girl. My experiences was that people, including parents, could be unpredictable. Facts were consistent and solid. We know what happens when certain things mix to form chemical compounds, rain, snow, wind. We know what happens when we go to a fossil bed to look for fossils. Usually we find a fossil. We know what happens when water flows. Eventually it polishes rocks, erodes the land around it. From the very beginning of human existence, people have tried to make order out of a sense of chaos that's always been around. They have formed tools, formed shelter, formed gods to appease, to feel a sense of control over the uncontrollable. Weather, animals that want to hunt them down. Archaeologists have also found that since the beginning of human existence, funeral rituals have been performed. Relics have been found with bodies. People have wanted to find a way to comfort themselves in the midst of the unknown, trying to make sense out of what doesn't make sense. I love personality tests. Myers-Briggs, the Enneagram, all of it. I love that stuff. I am, and for those who care, I am an ISFJ on the Myers-Briggs. I am introverted, which has nothing to do with being social or antisocial. I'm introverted, approach the world in an experiential and tangible way, use values and feelings to make decisions, and I like organized, structured environments. I am a 6 on the Enneagram, which means I like physical comfort, safe and security, and I'm committed and loyal to people and things I'm passionate about. I like the personality tests because they help me organize my inner world I have had experiences that, I've had experiences that still make no sense. So somehow, personality tests helping me to define how I approach the world make sense. Things in the world don't always make sense. When I was a kid, like many of you perhaps, kids today, it was tough for me to get through junior high because of all the teasing and bullying. I don't know how you get through it without an inferiority complex of some kind. Why must it still happen? It's gotten to cyberbullying. Kids can still be cruel to other kids. It makes no sense. What does make sense? Young people like Malala Yousafzai, the woman who was shot in Afghanistan for just wanting an education just because she was a woman, a girl. Not only did she rally, she has gone to other places where education is still often banned for women, recently Nigeria. She says, education, not violence, is our future. She makes sense. This is why I'm sure I'm an educator. Because without education, people often harm another, not understanding the other person. Education makes sense. What doesn't make sense is a guy who goes into a family and kills 5 out of 6 members of the family. But the survivor of this family, who's 15, who played dead to stay alive, called 911 to save other members of her family. And then 3 days later, she stands up in front of her community and thanks them for their support. Not only that, she gives, I don't know what this sign means, but she gives a sign that says, stay strong. She tells others to stay strong. That makes sense. Still going through the effects of rejection syndrome, as I have, can often make no sense. There's no reason that I should still feel feelings of rejection. I'm loved, I'm supported, I'm affirmed, and yet deep down I still have the not enough. I'm sure there are people here that feel the same way. It makes no sense. What makes sense is my relationship with God, with relationship with the people of God. God has always been present in my life, obviously, in your lives now. God doesn't reject a single person, not a single soul. God provides an avenue, like the church, to be a conduit for God's love. Having a present God to help us through, help us serve others, help us show up here to be with others in need, make sense. I want to make sense of this Bible, but I often can't. There's violence, parables I still don't understand, whether in the Old Testament or a Jesus parable. having a model like Jesus makes sense. He's so close to how God would show up. I can't believe that God was not present in this model of Jesus. Jesus said in John chapter 13, verses 35, "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." That sentence makes sense. Love one another. The scripture that's in the bulletin, one verse, says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Turns out, when I researched this a little bit, the writer was not necessarily referring specifically to the law, the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, or even scripture written at the time in the Bible. It's about allowing the wisdom of God to be a lamp, to shine through, a light for our paths. How does that make sense for us today? This is where it's so nice and convenient that I'm a world religions teacher at PCC. I can bring other religions in easier than perhaps others might. In the Buddhist tradition, wisdom, the wisdom of God, as I refer to, but in this case, Buddhist tradition, which is non-theistic, still talks about wisdom. But wisdom referring to a deep understanding of the human condition. It's taking empathy to a new height. Empathy, walking in another's shoes. Knowing deeply why we respond to life the way we do. Excuse me. From this deep understanding in the Buddhist tradition comes compassion. You can't not feel compassion for another person if you don't get why they react the way they do. And in the Buddhist tradition, they react out of pain oftentimes. Dukkha, which we call suffering, they call dissatisfaction from life. Fear, because we have a body, we have thoughts, we have feelings. Things change and we don't necessarily like them to. So Buddhists take a mindfulness path, step back, observe things happening rather than getting caught up in it. And it is said this leads to wisdom, the deep understanding of why people act out of pain. This makes sense to me. In the Bible, we actually have examples of reacting out of these situations. You have pain of the body. Certainly the slaves in Egypt felt that way before Moses came and helped release them from bondage as slaves of Egyptians. The pain of thought bombarding you, trying to see clearly through thoughts continually coming up. Some that make sense and some that do not. I mentioned some of my favorites last week, Moses and Jeremiah. They struggled with their position with God. They had inner struggles. No, I can't. Yes, you can. No, I can't. Yes, you can. You have the pain of change. The Babylonian exile, when the Jews were taken away to a brand new place, temple destroyed, no longer having the way they knew to worship God. Same thing when the second temple was destroyed in the New Testament. People had to figure out how to worship God, some through Jesus, some through synagogues. That's change. That can cause pain. Despite all these examples of pain, having problems changing, the physical body, thoughts, the wisdom of God prevails. There are people today who understand the human condition and seek to make sense of how to create more love, more compassion, more wisdom. In the past, as models, Jesus, Buddha, Muhammad, present, Pope Francis, the closest thing sometimes I know to a model of Jesus, you don't have to be Catholic to get that, Malala Yousafzai, anyone who is some part social justice, anyone who reaches out to another in comfort, anyone who inspires another. We have these people today, and they make sense. God obviously still exists because God sends these people who make sense. God sends people to display wisdom, comfort, forgiveness, education, service, inspiration. Sometimes the world doesn't make sense, but there are places to turn for hope, for things to make sense, whether it's in the past in the Bible or in the present, seen in the face of the young Muslim girl. Let us remember that in the middle of what doesn't make sense, something always does. Amen.
Listen, listen, listen.